The Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows, Episode 23, Trip My Wire.
Hello, fellow audience. You're quick to the bait, aren't you?
Admittedly well, Master.
Here he is, Hecubus! And now, we continue our story from the previous episode.
Or perhaps the one prior to that.
What can you mean, Hecubus?
Roger Collins suggested a breakfast with David and Amy at the end of Up the Damn Staircase, which is where we'd like to take our audience this time.
Recalling for a moment the delirium of The Endless Night at Collinwood, much of that had Maggie Evans pursuing her ghostly remembrances of being the floating Josette. But still, we must journey to that breakfast conversation suggested in Up the Damn Staircase, in which Roger Collins offers the Governess Evans charges with slices of toast.
What a wonderful little breakfast room. But is there much to eat?
Sure. Have some toast, children.
Father, you were going to tell us more about Quentin.
I was, wasn't I? From what I remember, he was very fond of your grandfather.
Really? My grandfather, Jameson?
Yes, Jameson. You know, you are the spitting image of your grandfather, David.
I am?
Yes. It's often helped me to recognize how important you are to this family, David. And you, Amy.
Yes, Mr. Collins?
You strangely resemble someone from our family files. A little girl named Nora.
I do?
Yes, you do. But don't take me too seriously.
Why not?
Because I can't remember if your resemblance was from a drawing, a photograph, or a dream.
Why would there be no photograph?
Ah, well, do you think photographs have always existed, Miss Jennings?
I suppose they didn't always. How long have people been taking photographs?
The invention of photography was barely started over 100 years ago. It took a great deal more time to perfect any images, and those were only in black and white.
Like so much of this show?
Hecubus, hush.
I thought most photographs now were in black and white, Father. Not if you're rich, David, and we are. It's simply a matter of what we want to spend our money on, and color or colored photographs haven't been something we wanted to bother with.
What do you mean, Mr. Collins?
Well, why would there be a color photograph of this person you have an interest in? Color photographs weren't invented until several years after he died. You remember who?
Quentin Collins!
Of course. Now, I'm hoping you know where to look the man up. Miss Evans should arrive soon to help you with your studies. In the meantime, I shall be off to the cannery and leave Mrs. Johnson to her administrations.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Collins. I'll see to the children until Miss Evans arrives.
Very good, Mrs. Johnson. Children, you are in capable hands.
More capable hands. I've prepared better food now that he's left, no surprise. Don't touch that toast, Master David.
What have you got for us, Mrs. Johnson?
Here. There you are. Tuna and peas on toast.
Oh, thank you, Mrs. Johnson. I'm happy with this.
Strange breakfast to me, but all right.
It'll fill us up fast, David.
I believe you. You believe Miss Amy, Master David. She's a good influence coming from outside of our surroundings. Plenty of good sense.
Why is that, Mrs. Johnson?
Amy isn't from a wealthy background, so she appreciates our abundance. She knows what it is like to live without as much. Solid sense she has, I'm sure.
Master, they didn't talk much about Quentin Collins, did they?
Yes, I believe that was Roger Collins' intention. Deviate from the point in order to make the children feel they'd been gratified on a previous inquiry.
Tricky dealings, Master.
Very tricky, but effective. Upon this juncture, our governess is finished with her coffee shop shift in the earliest hours, and reaches home to both freshen up and begin a new investigation with her father, Sam Evans, also known as André Dupré.
Ah, there's my girl.
That's me, Pop. Good to see you at the easel.
Yep, just getting to the sod jumble of still life. It keeps looking like something from the last century here.
Oh? So, your clairvoyant senses are picking up the news once again.
Eh? Is something on an 1800s element showing up now?
As far as I could determine, Pop, my own memories from that time come around sometimes, too.
I see. Anything to do with our second Josette?
Not yet. But someone I might have met seems involved. I told you about the old telephone. Is that fresh coffee?
Sure is. Here you are.
Thank you. Now, Pop, can you get a hold of Captain Gregg?
Just say the word, Maggie.
The word.
You rang? Oh, Mademoiselle Dupré. That's why I have been summoned.
I hope you don't mind, Captain.
For you? Never. What inquiry do you wish to bestow upon me?
The knowledge of other ghosts.
Ghosts? Like myself?
No, Captain. I fear these ghosts are not like you, at all.
How do you mean?
Daniel, Maggie is having some trouble up at the great house of Collinwood among her charges. They are playing around with an old telephone, and there are these ghosts that continue to tell them what to do, from what we can determine.
That is pesky, but I may know the ropes. Whatever I can do within these circumstances, I will. Just let me know what is happening.
My charges are David Collins and Amy Jennings. They are venturing to the West Wing rooms of Collinwood and meeting with two ghosts, one of which is named Quentin.
I see. Grandiose name if ever there was one. What would you like me to do?
Well, Daniel, is following children beneath you?
Oh, hardly that, André. I've been tailing Mrs. Muir's children on occasion, if you must know.
Excellent. So you've already had the practice. This endeavor ought to be simple enough.
Of course. It might even be a skylark, now that you've both explained it to me. What might I look for?
Anything suspicious, obviously.
Does Sarah Collins know about these exploits of Amy and David?
Very little, from what I understand.
Very good. Circumpolar, if I may say so. I shall make a link and return as quickly as possible with my report. A glass of Madeira will ensue from there, I gather, André.
If that's to be your reward, Daniel, yes.
It's only a reward with your company, Monsieur and Mademoiselle Dupré.
As that is a reward to us, dear Captain.
We now move from this plan with Captain Gregg to another seafaring journey.
Lily Munster entreats her cousin, Elizabeth Stoddard,
to venture a game of cards in the open air and during the day with the ghost of Bill Malloy.
Now that we've had our breakfast, Lizzie, I've got a pack of cards for meeting your Mr. Malloy out on deck.
In broad daylight, Lily?
Oh, sure. There are plenty of tables and chairs to share for guests. Mr. Malloy told me he wanted to experiment.
He would want to.
I'm not sure about this. Why, Lizzie? It's merely a game of cards. That's all we're up to. If people wandering by see a few cards moving without a body attached to who is moving them, they'll know it's a ghost, won't they?
They might think it's the wind.
You've got it! It could definitely look like the wind. We'll just have to inform them otherwise.
Or not.
Ah, that's true. What business is it of theirs if they can't tell a ghost from the wind? You know, that's always bothered me when people can't tell the difference. Here we are.
How are you, ladies, this lovely morning?
Oh, wonderful, Mr. Malloy.
Belle, if you please.
And you may call me Lily. Or Cousin Lily, if that's more suitable.
He's not your cousin.
Well, he could have been my cousin, Lizzie, if you had married him.
Fair enough. I like the way Cousin Lily plays already.
Wait till you see me shuffle.
Looking forward to that. Let's sit down. So, I noticed you'd seen to my seaside burial, Elizabeth.
What a thing to mention. Why shouldn't he mention it, Lizzie? A person likes to know they've been buried just the way they want to be.
I was surprised to learn you'd made me the executor of your will. Surprised, but touched, to know you trusted me that much. I did my best to honor your wishes. I hope I didn't make any mistake.
I see no mistake in anything you do, Lizzie.
Nor do I. Thank you both. I hoped you would approve of my choosing Seaside Cemetery, much closer to the sea than the plots in, say, Eagle Hill Cemetery. I've always been relieved not to be placed there. Far too much traffic over the years.
Is there?
Oh, yes. Josette was complaining about that a lot to the widows in recent months. Well, I think that was Josette. Maggie's only remembering that kind of thing more recently. But anyway.
6 cards for 3 players.
Yes, of course. What is the game again?
Kings in the corner.
And the object? Get rid of all your cards. It's played like solitaire, except we are playing against each other.
Against? Oh, not so much to me.
How so?
For me, it's a matter of making books.
That might be true when a set is finished in the corner on top of a king, but there is some strategy involved.
Whatever you say, Bill.
I can play a 3, and 1 king goes there. Let's see. I'll transfer this jack over to the queen on this king, and I can fill that gap.
A habit. Rather simple, really. That's what makes it so easy to learn. I hope you've been pleased with my arrangements, Bill, for your grave facing the ocean.
Oh, so much. It's been a magnificent sight that only you could provide.
I go there often.
Do you?
To have time to think, away from my responsibilities at home. More recently, that was easier, considering.
How you stayed so secluded for so many years.
Yes. After all that business with Jason, I found my way far out of the house again.
More's the blessing.
Bill Malloy, you already knew Elizabeth went out there, didn't you?
I did, Cousin Lily. For sure and certain, I did.
Go ahead and tell her why.
I saw her, and enjoyed spending those hours with her as she sat so closely to my remains.
Oh, Lily. Don't mind me, Lizzie. I did so love this kind of a happy ending in my youth. I keep these handkerchiefs just for such a purpose, you know. And 3, 2, 8. That's a book.
So it is. That's 1 out of 4, and I'll build here. Liz, have you ever told Victoria about your relation to her?
No. But she seemed to behave as if she might have known already.
You did good to find a way that Carolyn would know.
Thank you, Bill. I did what I could before we left.
What do you intend to do for Victoria?
Bill, we have to find Leslie before we can be certain Victoria is their child. At least for Cousin Elizabeth, to be sure. I'm already positive of it.
Are you, Cousin Lily?
Absolutely. I was there, and I have a sense about these things. But proof must be found, you know.
Yes, it must.
7, 6, 5, and... then scoop. That's another book. And here, 3.
One can hardly play much on a 3.
That's why I put it down. Extend the game a bit longer, Lizzie.
You would.
Wouldn't I?
Elizabeth Collins Stoddard, would you like for me to venture forward and tell Victoria for you?
How on earth could you do that, Bill?
I know she's staying out on the West Coast and looking for the answers with another family that is well-versed in the meditations of the psychic with Victoria.
Is she? You're sure?
I am.
Sounds like some neighbors of mine.
They are, Cousin Lily. They're a family named Adams, if you know 'em.
Oh?
The Adams? How lovely! There we are, Lizzie. Victoria is at the right household. Herman was always a little surprised by the Adams. They had such unique requests for burials and coffins and so forth, but I've always loved what I've heard about them.
Is that where Victoria and Peter are? I'm glad to know my cousin approves, as you do, I expect, Bill.
I do. Well, all right. Yes. I was unsure for a while. But yes, I do approve of where Victoria is. I just felt you ought to know, as well as to understand, that I could send Victoria a message if you would like.
Bill, we've hardly begun this journey, and what could I relay to Victoria at this point? Lily is certain Victoria is my daughter, as well as Leslie's, but I am not. I must let her be, whatever you or these Adams would like to inform her of, and I'll just play these cards.
Lizzie, that's a book.
Oh, yes it is.
Looks like we've each got three cards left.
Not anymore. I'm out. That makes me the winner, I think.
And who would have it any other way?
Oh, thank you, Lizzie. I see. You know, I'll just go and see what is available at the commissary.
Of course. After that extraordinary breakfast, Lily.
I know when food is calling me out of the way. Besides, that chef never told me where he drained the steak. I'm keen to discover that.
Looks like it's you and me, Elizabeth.
Just as it might have been once upon a midsummer night's dream. Now, we'll stroll arm in arm, and might you tell me more about what you termed as high traffic at Eagle Hill Cemetery?
Yes. Beyond the caretaker, you wouldn't mind tales of Laura Murdoch Stockbridge and André Dupré, would you?
Sounds comfortably familiar.
Shall we?
And a while after our devout couple began their promenade, there is a brief return of Maggie to the Evans cottage, shared with her father in Collinsport.
Or on the outskirts thereof.
Well, Pop, how much farther did you get in that still life?
There you are. A basket of apples, an old telephone, and a letter with a penny stamp.
That's all.
I'm sure the postage has to be higher back then. That's the problem I'm wrestling with.
It was 2 cents, Pop, not a penny. What about Captain Gregg?
No. What did you discuss with Mr. Wells today?
I really need to find a way to resign, Pop. There is so much going on at Collinwood, I really can't keep both jobs at once. I know you meant well with your suggestion. Mr. Wells understood what I told him, but he wanted to understand why I couldn't juggle both jobs after telling him I could. And I surely can't explain it to him.
Aye, Maggie. Well, pardon my proposing it. I didn't expect things to get so much hairier than they already were.
I'm sure no one did.
You could try a long leave of absence, Maggie.
That's true. We'll work it out. Now. Captain Gregg?
Oh, damn, that's right.
Heath! André!
That's my old name, Daniel.
And it's when I know you by, Sam Evans.
True. So, looks like you've seen a ghost.
Yes. Very amusing, André. Anyway, you won't believe what I did see.
Try us.
I certainly shall. You wanted to know what these children were up to with these two entities, yes?
Entities, Captain Gregg?
Aye, Miss Evans. I certainly don't know what else to call these placid things. Placid?
Oui. I ventured to that west wing you keep talking about. And yes, there were ghosts, but...
But?
But they are nothing like any ghosts I have ever known.
Why, Daniel?
They behave as if they can't even see me either. The children see them, They see the children, but... These are unlike any ghosts I can understand. Would you like a snuff of Madeira, Captain? Yes, only if you will share one with me, Mademoiselle Dupré.
Of course.
Cheers. Good call, Miss Evans, truly. This dilemma is becoming more and more difficult to consider.
What happened, Daniel? Tell us about the children.
Very well, Andre. I watched the two, Amy and David, contorted by these disturbed entities. They played dress-up as if they were the ghosts themselves. After a while, of some strange dialogue they shared, they noticed a skeleton in the room.
A skeleton? Really?
Yes, a skeleton. A rather dressed-up skeleton. Then they decided it belonged to a Quentin Collins and needed to have a proper burial. So David brought in a toy chest. They put the remains into that and, unbeknownst to him, David's father, helped them down the stairs with that.
Roger helped them? Just like that, did he?
Ah, no. They made up a story about it being a toy soldier of some kind that perished honorably in combat, which it looked as if David's father was relieved to hear. So he helped them and let them out the front door. Amy and David then went to bury the remains in the chest, believing they were done.
But they weren't, were they, Daniel?
Certainly not, Andre. But I swear to you, I did try to talk to these ghosts.
And what happened?
Nothing at all. I asked them what they wanted, and I have to deduce that all they truly wanted was to stand before these children simply to look tall and imposing.
And? Would that benefit them?
Not a whit, from what I could observe. Truly, Andre, these ghosts are unlike any ghosts I've ever known.
Why, Captain?
They just stand there and point at things, and only use that blasted telephone to talk to anyone.
And not very well, from what you're telling us.
Indeed.
Currently, they have convinced the children to bring destruction on David's father.
Roger?
Oui, mademoiselle.
The plan is to tie a cord across the stairs and then warn him of an intruder late at night. But I doubt it shall work.
Why?
Because from what I can make out, Roger Collins is only so much of an ass as Providence can create in him. Otherwise, he's brilliant.
I've got to head back and warn Roger.
Would you like a speedier method of getting there, mademoiselle?
What do you mean, Captain?
Teleportation, Maggie. If you need it.
Or want it.
I think I'll be fine this time, Captain.
Don't worry, Andre. She'll come around to it soon enough.
I was about to tell you the same thing.
That seems to wrap things up between the children's mischief and our own.
If you say so, Master.
I do.
The next problematic encounter before us is that of Wadsworth, converging on the trusty Willie.
Trusty, Hecubus?
Well, as trusty as I am to you, Master.
Evil.
Yes, and without further ado, we lead you forward to our butler entering the quarters of his old employee, Willie Loomis.
Come in.
Mr. Loomis, are you busy?
Oh, please, Wadsworth, interrupt me. I'm getting tired of these pangrams.
It'll give you the writing practice.
I think I need a dictionary to understand them.
I shall provide you with one. What better way to give you a sound education?
With pangrams? More of an unsound education. Still, I'm glad I got the milk and eggs out of the way on time today.
You aren't unhappy, are you, Mr. Loomis?
Nah, I suppose I'm pretty comfortable. No spooks or crazies have been in my hair lately.
Good. Now, I have a question. Have you an account of some kind to deposit some expenditure into?
You mean money?
Why, yes. I presume you don't keep your worldly sums under your mattress.
Maybe I have a piggy bank. I keep it all in stash somewheres you don't know about.
If that's what you trust. But I doubt that you do. A hidden bag in your shirt never seemed your style either.
Pockets and locked boxes always been good enough for me. Why are you interested in where I keep things?
You're not wanting any of it.
Of course not, Mr. Loomis. I wanted to give you a few dividends.
What for?
Because you have earned it, Mr. Loomis. And because you have earned it, I want to be sure you will house the expenditure somewhere you can safely keep it.
Oh, I understand. I'll come up with something later tonight. Thank you, Wadsworth.
Old friend will do in referring to me.
I'll remember that.
And something else.
What's that? Can't be the money in brown paper, can it?
No, no. Another little something I promised to supply you with when we met at Wincliffe.
Beige. Trousers. They look almost identical to the ones you gave me when I worked at Hill House.
I did my best to find a suitable pair that our German shepherds damaged.
No, Wadsworth. It was the Dobermans that got 'em.
Whichever. They ought to fit if Mr. Collins is any authority on your size.
What's that? Barnabas and you shop for them?
Yes, Mr. Loomis. Mr. Collins agreed with me to have a day out and see to the appropriate purchase together.
How did you manage that?
Ah, well, it was no small matter. We had to go rather far away from Collinsport to find a fairly decent menswear clothier.
No stops along the way or back home?
Oh, yes. Neither of us could do for the full drive, and we stopped for a moment at the sanitarium.
Wincliffe?
Sir knew there would be a lavatory there, of course. Then, unbeknownst to my own expectations, he managed to become acquainted with little Amy Jennings.
Really? So, Amy Jennings and Barnabas met already?
Oh, yes. I was rather indisposed for a time, and...
You fixed that leaky toilet, didn't you, Wadsworth?
You know me.
I know you, and I know Wincliffe. Bet you managed it with a paperclip, fingernail trimmers, and a Band-Aid.
Scratch the Band-Aid, add a hairpin, and you more or less have it.
Don't suppose anyone at Wincliffe misses me.
Misses you, Mr. Loomis? Oh? To be sure. Someone did. Nurse Jackson let me know she missed your presence very much indeed.
She did? Huh?
Oh, yes. In fact, she wanted me to tell you that she and Jan Davis have missed you a great deal. Not that either of them, one being fictional, wishes you any need return for more than a brief visit.
Coral Jackson. She made my life there so much more bearable.
Do you wish to tell me about it, Mr. Loomis?
Sure. Have a seat.
And we abruptly pause you from this scene in order to move you on to the next one.
As long as it's not now nor ever one life to live, this shall be easy enough, I believe.
Nor as the world turns, nor the guiding light, nor another world, nor search for tomorrow, nor the doctors, nor the edge of night, nor the secret storm, nor love of life, nor general hospital, nor the days of our lives, nor love is a many-splendored thing, nor...
Hecubus! Shush!
Okay, master. Maggie Evans returns to Collinwood to find Roger Collins sipping sherry, as per usual, in the drawing room.
Roger? Mr. Collins?
Over here, Maggie.
Roger, what do you have?
I finally got the account settled for a month at the cannery, and I am indulging in a sherry. Would you like one?
Yes. No! Yes.
Very decisive, Miss Evans.
Thank you, Roger.
Of course. Now, what did you wish to tell me?
Have David and Amy involved you in their playtime?
Oh, yes. A toy box with the pretend soldiers' remains that I helped them carry... Wait, how did you know that?
Woman's intuition.
Ah, I trust that answer. Well, they came back with the box at some point. Thank goodness David still wants to play some kind of game with his new playmate.
Yes, but the next game won't be so innocent.
Hmm? What do you mean, Miss Evans?
One of them is going to ask you to descend the stairs on the pretense that an intruder has entered the house.
Oh?
Yes, and you mustn't believe a word of it.
Ah, well, per your instruction, I shan't. What do you suggest I do in this case?
Humor them. Go to the staircase and look for a very thin wire across the steps. Look very carefully.
Dare I ask how you know this?
Oh, I overheard the children plotting. What else?
In this house? It could be just about anything else. So, a wire. Across the stairs.
Yes.
Good Lord. Is David trying to kill me again? I thought we'd move past that sort of thing in our relationship.
Well, I don't believe it's the children's idea at all. I felt like they were being manipulated by some sort of negative entity.
I suppose that is something for which I can be thankful.
In a way. Could you at least consider it possible, Roger?
Quite so. I will do that.
Where are you going now?
To bed. I might as well await the trickery to come and have it over with. It beats expecting the phone will ring from my sister finally arriving in England, doesn't it?
I'm sure it does. Well, I wasn't sure he had it in him. Pop? Yes, I have warned him. Oh, he took it in stride. He even went straight to his room as if he were looking forward to it. Yes, he got a lot of work done. Likely has a good book to enjoy before he has to create his performance for the children. Me? Whatever extrasensory perception I have tells me, oddly enough, this is going to work.
As odd as one would think this to be while watching a soap opera, it is not so very odd while listening to a humor mystery serial in which many a daytime drama character has woken up to their surroundings.
Shockingly well said, my minion. Are we to venture onward?
Onward and upward to Professor Stokes' house, in which Dr. Hoffman and her confirmed sweetheart of both past and present are attempting to extract memories from their past lives.
And, unfortunately, not getting very far.
I was a zombie.
No, you weren't. I have no memory of that.
Well, that is what I am remembering.
Sandor.
Elliot, Julia. Elliot.
Yes. Yes, Elliot. This is very trying.
Isn't it?
Elliot, I have no recollection of you, of Sandor, becoming a zombie at all.
My dearest Julia, we are having more and more trouble with this as time goes on. I am becoming more impatient with what answers we do get as we attempt to relegate our psyches into a past history. It seems
to keep changing, Elliot.
Yes, Julia, you have it. Between you and I, what I don't remember and you don't remember fits together at some points. And then what you and I do scoop out of the vestibule of time variances doesn't fit. I feel like we must consult a medium.
A medium? Now?
In between what all we can possibly do, my dear. I want to get to the bottom of this as much as you do, but you and I aren't getting anywhere.
Yes, we are, Elliot.
We are?
We are at least discovering one thing.
What is that, Julia?
That you and I care enough to try together.
Oh, ah, yes. And that has made this time very pleasurable indeed.
It's hard to pull myself away.
You want to ask a question?
I do, except...
You needn't feel any guilt for wanting that, my dear.
I know. I simply wish I could focus better.
Ah, perhaps these tender affections are just as important as all the work we have done tonight. I don't suppose you'd stay the night after all of this.
Professor, it is very late, but I presume it isn't too late for a medium, so I will make a proposition.
Which is what?
In order to achieve something more than fluctuating remembrances tonight, you telephone this medium, schedule an appointment, and then...
Then what, Julia?
I'll stay the night, as you suggested.
Hmm. Operator. Yes, can you connect me with Bangor 3463?
Hello?
Yes, Madam Finley, I... All right, I'll wait.
She wants to predict who I am.
Yes, this is Professor T. Elliot Stokes, madam. Might you be so kind as to...
Yes?
Now she wants to predict what you are going to ask without any help from you, correct?
Yes, Madam Finley. Collinsport, that's exactly... Well, I would have told you, but... Yes, I realize it's essential to your practice as a medium, but... Tomorrow would be perfect. We shall meet with you then.
They always do that, you know.
They do what, Julia?
Refuse to let you tell them anything and then predict their whole way through it all.
She'll meet me at the Collinsport Inn registry, Julia.
And then? She'll inquire as much as she can to Mr. Wells, just as she expresses to him to clam up entirely, which is not what Mr. Wells is known for. He is known to give information to customers for $5.
I trust the innkeeper to understand her ad infinitum.
As I trust you, Elliot.
I hope you do.
I've trusted you tonight, so far, haven't I?
As I have trusted you, Julia. Now, shall we return to our selected reading for the night?
Yes, but no Icarus.
Oh? And who would you prefer to hear about?
Euphrosyne. I'm sure you have something about her, don't you?
Ah, yes. For in your gift are all our mortal joys, and every sweet thing, be it wisdom, beauty, or glory, that makes rich the soul of man. You want that I am refreshed by these thoughts, my dear.
Oh, more than that. It's something that I recall an old comrade telling me in our bedchamber, once upon a time.
Once upon a time in the 1890s, I suppose.
If I remember correctly, yes.
The lateness of the night leaves us in want of a more exciting culmination.
Amy Jennings has warned Roger Collins of noises downstairs, a possible intruder, and if he could investigate. He takes a polished pistol with full knowledge all is well, and his son has merely left the front door wide open in order to create a suspicious atmosphere in the foyer.
Does Roger Collins believe any of Amy's claims?
No, he does not. But still, he makes a good show of it, recalling a method of his own play on the stairs as a boy.
Hmm. Looks like the door is wide open. Ah, there is the wire on the step. Now, how to make it sound as if I'm falling to my doom? Father would love this. I shall take to the stairs just below this wire and slide down.
Ah! Roger! Roger, are you all right?
Yes, I am, but pretend that I'm not.
Good God! Roger Collins! What on earth is going on? Mrs. Johnson, please call a physician. Roger has fallen down the stairs, perhaps to his death. Angels preserve us.
What's happened? Oh, Amy, I'm afraid Mr. Collins... that he's... No!
All due respect to The Kids in the Hall, The Munsters, 1960s TV show, The Addams Family, 1960s TV show, Clue the Movie, 1980s film, The Ghost of Mrs. Mirror, 1960s TV show, and of course, Dark Shadows, 1960s TV show.
The Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows is a Daryl Wolf production.